This audio is produced and distributed by the Christian Biblical Church of God, Post Office Box 1442, Hollister, California, 95024-1442. To visit our websites, they are cbcg.org and biblicaltruthministries.org. Now, the next CD you will get will be an MP3 with about 4, maybe 5 hours on it. And we're going to send this out, and what we want to do is this. If everyone can get an MP3 player, and you can get them cheap now, $30, MP3 player. And if you have a car that has a CD player on it that is not MP3, you can buy one of those portable MP3 players. Just plug it into your cigarette lighter, since you don't use it, and if you use it, you ought to quit. And they have a system that'll play through your sound system too. Now, the reason being is this. So this tape will be a demonstration of it. If everybody can get along with MP3, then what we can do, we can send more material on a CD than WAVE. Which means, like what I'm recording now, are comments before we get into the sermon. And we'll be able to send those out as well. And some of the discussion things that we're going to talk about here. So that's the reason that we're sending it out MP3. And also on this one, you're going to hear a sermon that I did in 1987 about what's happening, what was going to happen to the world's religions that I covered in that sermon. And that sermon is about an hour and whatever long. It's way past an hour and a half, way past 80 minutes. See, because when we do WAVE, I'm limited to 78 minutes. And people keep saying, well, that sounds a little short because they're all used to an hour and a half, see. Well, that's because we have you untrained from a 12-minute attention span that TV trains everyone for. And so we were talking a little earlier about what's happening with the population. Let's look and see. Now, we've gone over these scriptures before, but it's good to go back and visit scriptures again at a later date. So let's come back here to Matthew 24. And, of course, the reason we go to Matthew 24 so often is because Matthew 24 is pivotal for the things at the end. Now, verse 37. And this is a key. And I think this. When we look at a verse such as this one, and we understand what it says, and realize that there's a whole lot more here that it can tell us than what we have if we just read it. Because every word in the Bible is God-inspired, God-breathed, and in the New Testament in particularly, many of the things of the Old Testament have been summarized. For example, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's a complete summary of the whole Old Testament. That one thing tells us you must have the Old Testament with the New Testament. Okay. Now, hear this verse, verse 37. Now, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. Now let's think about this a little bit more. Let's focus in on verse 38. They were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. Now all of this then tells us, when we tie it in with the things in the book of Revelation about buying and selling and government and things like this, think about how much is involved in providing food for the world. Think about everything that we have with the supermarkets. Now today we can go down the supermarkets and we get anything we want from almost anywhere in the world. Now the other day I bought some blueberries from Chile. Years ago that wouldn't be possible. So you have everything at your fingertips. And then I get home and I look at our cupboards and I think, if the food supply were to stop, how long would anybody last, including us? Because, you know, all you have to do is block off major highways and the food supply is over with. But we're all dependent on the supermarket, aren't we? But as long as the supermarket is there and you can get anything you want, everybody thinks everything is just wonderful, see? So this tells us there is this deceptive reality. As long as you're eating and drinking and you can have what you want to have, everything is fine. Now, marrying and giving in marriage, that also covers the thing concerning perversion, too. Whoever thought we would see homosexual marriages? Then you have, just put in your margin or in your notes there, Luke 17, the same thing it says, and as it was, you know, in the days before Lot was taken out of Sodom. See? Think of all the perversion that was going on there, which we see today. Until the day that Noah entered the ark, and they were not aware until the flood came and took them all away, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Now, let's come back here to Genesis 6. Because here's a phenomena that takes place only when the population reaches a certain critical mass. Genesis 6 and verse 1. Now, this is in the days of Noah. 120 years before the flood. So he was 480 years old at this point because the flood came in his 600th year. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth. Now take that statement. Something happens to human beings when there's a great multitude of people. And understand this. We don't know what the population could be because they lived hundreds and hundreds of years and had sons and daughters, and they had sons and daughters, and so in the 1500 and some years from creation of Adam and Eve and to this point, there could be billions on the earth. Also, we don't know what the geographic situation was at that time. But it tells us what happens when there is a multiplicity of human beings. Now we have 8 billion on the earth right now? Over 6 billion? Mm-hmm. Now, they project by 2025 there's going to be 10 billion. That means there has to be more food supply. That means there has to be more of everything. The cities will get bigger, and so forth. But what happens with carnal human beings under the sway of Satan the devil? That's what we need to understand. That's why there are only two times in the whole history of the world that we have a large number of human beings alive, before the flood and at the end before Jesus returns. And so this tells us how it's going to come about. And the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all of whom they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for he is also flesh. Yet his day shall be 120 years. Now that can apply two ways. 120 years from that date until the flood, while Noah was warning and building the ark. It can mean that from that time on, God is going to reduce the age of man slowly down to a maximum of 120 years. Obviously, Noah lived 350 years after the flood. He died at 950 years old. Okay. And there were giants, and and it was interesting in going over this with Mike Hyde. He said that that could also be translated tyrants, because it can mean bullies. Now, think about people coming into power like we see today. Do we see bullies? Do we see tyrants? Yes, we do. Now let's see what happens when you let this multiply. Now, you go back. I wonder what the population of the earth was. Anybody have an offhanded remembrance of what? So since this is just a discussion here, wonder what the population was 120 years ago. So that would put it at 1887. Not very many. See? Maybe 2 billion? Probably less than 2 billion, okay. So it's three times that now. And when it multiplies, it multiplies exponentially. And just think, into 120 years, how many more people were born into the world because of the activities that they had here, and everyone wanting a piece of the power to control. See, now just look at what the world is today and see the similarities. So he said, continuing, and after that, and also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men. Now, the sons of God could include those of Seth as well as those of Cain. So this shows interracial marriage in a way that we have not understood or not fully appreciated the fact of it back then. And they bare children to them. The same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And we see the same thing happening today, don't we? Look at how they are developing athletes beginning when they're just babes. So by time they get into the sports thing, they're going to be, you know, men of renown, famous men. Now here's what occurs. Because we have something that takes place with human beings. This began with Cain. He wanted to go his own way. He wanted to come to God the way he wanted to, rather than the way that God said. He killed his own brother because of hatred and jealousy. Now we have the same thing today. Put in your notes there, Judges 21:25, which is, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Now, what happens when everyone does what is right in their own eyes? Everyone becomes a god unto him or herself. They've obviously rejected God's standards, so they have their own standards, see? Now, here's what happens. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now today, magnify that. Radio, television, music, cell phone, computer, internet activity. I'll just give you one statistic I heard on the news last night. There are 79 million adults in America who are hooked to online porn. Now that says, now if you take away all the children from that, and you look at the adult population, you are probably looking at about 35 to 40% of the adult population. And what happens with that, it corrupts their thinking. And they're more susceptible to sin, because every way of a man is right in his own eyes, and every man justifies what he does in his own sight, so therefore what they're doing is right. Now, you go in and you try and take that away from them, it ain't going to happen. Just to give you an example of where the population is shifting towards what we could say in the conservative political thing, towards Schwarzeneggerism. In North Dakota, they tried to have on the ballot an initiative outlawing all abortion. Now, North Dakota is considered what? One of the most conservative states in the United States, right? Yes. It didn't pass in that state. Now, this shows you the progression of evil in the population is becoming more and more evil. And it's leading to what it says here in verse 5. Now, hold your place, because we'll come back there, and let's come to Matthew 24 again, and let's see something that is taking place before our very eyes. Now, you see, when everyone does what is right in his or her own eyes, is a law unto themselves, and they do whatever they want to. And this starts at a young age. Let's pick it up here, verse 10, Matthew 24. And then shall many be led into sin. Starts an early education, doesn't it? Think about the educational system we have today. Think about the decline of churches. Now, I've got some articles that I'm going to bring out in the future about the church that was. Protestantism is going down the tube. And as I mentioned before, Rick Warren is the one who's doing it, because he's a Schwarzeneggerizer of the fundamental evangelicals, and they're going to lose it. Many shall be led into sin, shall betray one another, shall hate one another. That's exactly where we are, isn't it? Many false prophets shall arise and deceive many. Now, here's the key, verse 12. And because lawlessness shall be multiplied, the love of many shall grow cold. Now, when men multiply in population, doing their own thing, then lawlessness multiplies, does it not? Now, here's something we haven't understood about lawlessness. Let's compare that to the way that God wants it for us. God wants us to govern our lives under Him with His love, with His laws, with His commandments, so that we govern ourselves. And in governing ourselves, we control the law of sin that is within us. So we are not dedicated to evil. That doesn't mean we don't sin, but we recognize right from wrong. And we don't give ourselves over to sin. When sin and trouble comes along, then what do? We repent, we adjust, we make it right. Now, when you have no standards, no constraint by anyone, how does a society get along? Because you can't live in total anarchy. How does a society get along? You need tyranny to control it. You need more and more laws, more and more police. See? You need more and more government control, because God does not control you. So what happens? The society switches and changes from following God and His laws and His commandments to following the laws and control of the government. And because they go easy on criminals and let them out into the society, then they have to have more and more and more and more control, right? And what happens? Every time a serious crime takes place, what do? They legislate more laws, more police, more Snooper vision. And all you have to do is just look at the world today. We have more policemen than ever before, but we have more lawbreakers than ever before. And they're also hamstrung because the law enforcement authorities cannot enforce the law until there is a crime which makes crime breed more and more and more. So then they have to have these draconian things to watch over people, which is going to lead to the ultimate solution of what? The mark of the beast. And there are articles out now showing that it is all set up. I'm going to bring another sermon update on mark of the beast. They are marketing GPS digital angel chips. Control. They're going to require, the way they bring it in is this. Now, it's for our good because of wanting to know the health of cattle because of mad cow disease, wanting to know where your pets are in case you lose them. More and more states are mandating that all the pets and the animals be RFID tagged. So they know when it was born, who owned it, if it was sold, when was it transferred, all of that. That's going to be mandated. See? So that's why you only have two times in the history of the world where you have population multiplying like it is now, and it leads to such horrendous evil. Now, let's come back to Genesis 6 again here. Now, this is why when the mark of the beast finally comes in, it's going to be absolutely revolutionary. Crime will plummet, go way down. Cheating will almost be unknown. No more identity theft. No more stealing babies out of hospitals because as soon as they're born, poof, put it right in. All pedophiles will be controlled remotely by GPS control. I've got a book I've been reading, Controlling the Human Mind. And that's what they intend to do. Couple that all together, see. So man is going to think that he will have the solution. But notice the solution has to be that Christ returns. Now, it wasn't time for Christ to return in the days of Noah. So it grieved God in his heart that he made man. Because you see, once you give free choice and you don't take it away, and God never takes away free choice. Never. Because he wants to know what we are going to do. You have this evil situation. So God said, verse 7, I will destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repents me that I have made them. So then, you know, I've done the sermon in the past. What difference can one man make? Well, here's one man, Noah, it saved the human race. Okay? Now, let's come down to verse 11. No, let's finish this here. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. Now, that probably tells us an awful lot about the genetics involved. And you look at it today. What are they trying to do today? But intermarry all races. And even one of the city councilmen on Fox News told Bill O'Reilly that the goal of the black movement is to chocolatize the whites. Now, if a white would have said that, that would have been racism. See, Now, God is not going to allow that because he created all the races. And Noah walked with God. So this tells us two things. It tells us about his genetics, and it tells us about his relationship with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. That's what we find today, isn't it? Everywhere you go, all kinds of violence. Crime, death. And in Asia, they are just given over to selling kids into sex trade. All those nations. And then you have hatred and violence and killing. Everywhere you look on the face of the earth. Now, it's kind of incongruous. I think it was brought out the other day that all of the anti-war people against the Iraq war saying, well, we've had over 3,000 killed. Now, that's over a period of, 4 years. But it was brought out every year. 7,000 people die because doctors do not give clear instructions on medication to the pharmacist. And another 1,200,000 become violently ill because of wrong prescriptions. Now, if they would add up the number of murders and add up the number of car accidents that kill people, add up all accidents that kill people, and compare that to the 3,000 whatever were killed in Iraq, then you would get a reasonable sense of the cost of human life. But I forget whoever brought it out. They didn't bring out the fact, well, why don't these war pacifists go after the doctors and their wrong prescriptions? And that doesn't say anything about the number of people die because of wrong operations. Yeah, we have an ex-doctor here who says it goes on all the time. Sometimes they read the x-ray backwards. You know, you can put it up at the light and look at it. You put it up backwards and you pull out the wrong kidney or you do the wrong thing, see. So anyway, the earth was filled with violence. That's what we have today. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way. Now, that could be applied individually, everyone's own way, and also applied to God's way, his way. And the Lord said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Now, let's think about this. When it began to rain, and rain, because it rained 40 days and 40 nights. Now, we know the fountains of the deep were broken up. We don't know what that did in the way of earthquakes. I think it's safe to say that all of those mammoths that were buried in the snow up north of the Arctic Circle, having food in their mouths and stomachs, they were caught in the tremendous snow that came at the North Pole. But think of this. I wonder what human beings were doing, because they're so violent, to try and save his or her neck. Wonder how many people they killed. Wonder how many people were trampled upon. Because it says that the waters covered the hills and the mountains by 15 cubits, that's minimum 45 feet, cannot be some little flood in some valley on one side of the earth and half of the earth escaped. Because when it talks about the whole earth and all the world, it means just that. How did they treat each other? I wonder how many people were killed trying to get a high spot near a tree. That must have been a tremendous thing to behold when that took place. Now, what I want you to do is this. This is why in the sermon that I gave warning the Amaro is coming, I ended with Psalm 91. Your only protection is going to be with God. See? But I want you to think how bad this society is going to be when these sudden disastrous events begin to happen. See? Now, all of those who are online, I suggested before, so I'll suggest again. Go online and look up the history of what happened in Argentina recently. Because, what was it, in the last 20 years they devalued the peso twice? What it did, it wiped out all savings. People had to go live in abandoned warehouses. And think about that. The more concentration of people in one place, the more horrendous it is going to be. Think about what's going to happen in New York City, in Chicago, in Los Angeles. It's going to be something. So we need to, you know, be prepared in that. And I know there are days when I'm thinking about this and days when I'm praying about it and asking God to give us whatever time He wants us to have, and hope that there are enough brethren out there who are loving God and doing the things they need to do, that God will give us whatever time we need to do what we need to do. And what all that will entail in the future, we don't know, because we have to walk by faith and go by faith and do the things that God wants us to do. That we need to be realistic about the things that are going to take place. We need not fear, but we need to be very cautious and not get ourselves in situations where we leave ourselves exposed. Because, as I mentioned, the United States is going to come down in stages. And so just exactly what those will be, we don't know. But that's why at only two times in history, when men multiply on the face of the earth, will we come to the point that the whole world is corrupt and, as Jesus said, let's go finish this here in Matthew 24, the church before God counts, and all the brethren have meaning to God. And we know by Revelation 2 and 3 that we have, what, seven churches? So there are a lot more people out there than we have ever imagined who are keeping the Sabbath and holy days. Just to give you an example, Tom Roberts up in the Church of God Seventh Day in Meridian, Idaho. I've been in contact with him from time to time, off and on. And they also keep the holy days. Well, in some of the seminars that he's been doing, he's contacted some on the East Coast, where there's one man, his name is Webb, and he called the office and wanted to have some of our books and things, but he goes out and he talks to Sunday-keeping churches and shows them why they need to keep the Sabbath and why they need to keep the holy days. So there's a whole new group of churches back on the East Coast that are leaving Sunday and the holidays of this world. He also gave me the phone number of a man in down who lives between Bakersfield and Fresno, and I called him, and he's a minister in Seventh-day Adventist Church, and he's been teaching the Passover and holy days to his people, and he's asking God for protection to get his message out while he can before the hierarchy comes and boots him out. Well, I gave him a call yesterday and talked to him on the phone, and we sent him a big box of all of our books and a lot of the things that we have, some sample tapes and things like that. And so we don't know where it's going to go. But let me tell you this. If anyone is trying to seek God and to teach the truth, God will be with that person. And this man, Tom Roberts said, is in contact with 150,000 other Seventh-day Adventists. So as I said, there's a remnant out there that God is working with. Now, we don't know what's going to happen. We do not need to join them. They do not need to join us because we do not need to try and recreate a super church. But what we need to do is create communications with people like that and help them in the way that we can, especially with the literature that we have and the books that we have. And in talking to him, he said that they have been keeping the Passover now for, the past 2 years. And he was delighted to hear about the Passover book. So I sent him all the books that we have, and I told him, I realize this may look like overkill at first, but trust me, when you get into the details of these things, all of this is needed. See, now notice, let's come here. Let's come here. It talks about Matthew 24. Let's pick it up in verse 13. But the one who endures to the end, that one shall be saved. So we're looking to salvation. We're not going to change this world. We're not going to make it better because they're not going to repent, as I brought out in the message, will prophecy fail? Verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be proclaimed in all the world for a witness to all nations. Then shall the end come. And I think God is setting that up right now. Look at the communications that people are able to have today right on their cell phone or BlackBerry. They could come right into our website at any time. I hope that there are literally hundreds, maybe thousands of websites out there that are preaching the truth to the people as much as they know it. Now, there are going to be variations in understanding of the truth. Granted. Now, we don't want to shirk our responsibility by saying, well, as some have said, the two witnesses will do this. Well, the two witnesses will do what they have to do, and it'll be the most powerful ministry that the world has ever seen. That is true. And will result in 144,000 in the great innumerable multitude. Now notice, for a witness to all nations, then the end shall come. Therefore, when you shall see the abomination of desolation which was spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, the one who reads, let him understand. Now we've gone through that before, so I won't explain it. Then it becomes a time of urgency, especially for those in Judea. Let the one who is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Let the one in the field not go back to take his garments. Woe to the women who are expecting a child and those who are nursing infants in those days. It's going to be tough times. Pray that your flight be not in the winter nor on the Sabbath, for then shall be great tribulation, such as not has been from the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be again. So we are looking at some tremendous things that are going to take place. And you take what we've covered here and add to it the multiplication of the population, the sin of the population, the every man, every woman doing what is right in his own eyes, and plug that all in it. Verse 21, for then shall be great tribulation. Yes, we read that. Verse 22. And if those days were not limited, it does not mean cut short. It means limited. And God limited it to how long? 3.5 years. There should be no flesh saved. Now notice, but for the elect's sake. That's how important the church is to God. And the church being the spiritual organism, meaning everyone who has the Spirit of God. They may belong to many different organizations, have varying degrees of understanding, varying degrees of conversion, varying degrees of the Holy Spirit, and I say that from this point of view, that when you look at the Laodiceans, what do you have? Christ is on the outside looking in. So apparently God's Spirit is with them, but not in them, and when they repent, then God puts his Spirit in them. So that's all the work of God, but they are part of the elect, you see. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be limited. Then if anyone says to you, behold, here's the Christ, or he is there, do not believe it. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and they shall present great signs and wonders in order to deceive even the elect. Now, it doesn't say the very elect. I know the King James does, but in the Greek it's the same. Even the elect. So that's why it's important that we hold to the truth. But, so what I want you to do is you watch the news, you read the newspapers, as you read different reports, wherever the information comes, and now we have a glut of information coming from everywhere. You can get news on the internet that you'd never get over any television news or anything like that, telling you really, really what's going on. So that's why we have to watch and see. And we also have to guard the truth. And we have to do the things that we are doing to preserve the truth. Okay. Let's end it there.